Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Tech Loft. I'm your host, Sal, and welcome to the next installment of The Tech Loft podcast, where I'm gonna tell you about browser fingerprinting. Before we begin, I just sort of want to remind everyone to please, if you like this podcast, please consider subscribing. We're available on all major podcast platforms. You can even visit the website, thetechloft.com. We are able to go automatically syndicate the show on all the podcasting platforms thanks to the platform I use, Anchor. Okay, so let's begin. So for those, now browser fingerprinting was something that I recently learned about. I think it's been going on for a while. I don't have an exact timeline, but it just has to do with fingerprinting, identifying who you, well, not necessarily who you are, but identifying things about you. And up until recently, that has been done through cookies. Cookies are dropped in your web browser from the web server. Data is collected and added. The cookies collected, so they can get information. Now, cookies can tell a person who owns the website, who's collecting that data, a little bit about not just your preferences, but also things like your website preferences, from text to background and all that stuff. And we're getting a little bit, the tech savvy people are getting a little bit smarter on that, where at every session we clear out our not just our browsing history, but more importantly, the browsing data. That's all the cookies, all the stuff that's been collected. That gets flushed out at the end of your browser session when you exit out of the application. So let me tell you a little bit about browser fingerprinting if you haven't already heard of it. So browser fingerprinting is an incredibly accurate method of identifying unique browsers and tracking online activity. Now, luckily, there are a few things you can do to wipe your fingerprints from the internet, but let's explore browser fingerprinting for a moment. And in this episode, I'm just going to talk about browser fingerprinting. I'll probably list a few things you can do. I'm not going to go into detail, but in the coming episodes of this podcast, I do want to open up more on privacy tools, extensions and plugins that you can use if you're what we call a normie who's probably using Google Chrome. There are some plugins you can use to beat the fingerprinting. So when you look up the definition of browser fingerprinting, what it is, it's a device fingerprint, machine fingerprint, or browser fingerprint is information collected about a remote computing device for the purpose of identification. Fingerprints can be used to fully or partially identify individual users or devices, even when cookies are turned off. So, like I mentioned at the beginning, we don't let our browsers accept cookies, and that's how we kind of try to stay private when we're viewing certain websites. So what that means, when you connect to the internet on your laptop or smartphone, your device will hand over a bunch of specific data to the receiving server about the websites you visit. Browser fingerprinting is a powerful method that websites use to collect information about your browser type and version, as well as your operating system, active plugins, time zone, language, screen resolution, and various other active settings. These data points might seem generic at first and don't necessarily look tailored to identify one specific person. However, there is a significantly small chance for another user to have 100% matching browser information. Panopticlick, which is a website that will test your browser for fingerprinting, people that run that found out that only 1 in 286,777 other browsers will share the same fingerprint as another user. Websites use the information provided by browsers to identify unique visitors and track their online behavior. This process is therefore called browser fingerprinting. The uniqueness of browser information is closely related to the investigation method of the police and forensic teams who identify suspects and criminals based on fingerprints at a crime scene. So the massive database called the Integrated Automated Fingerprint Identification System stores about 70 million fingerprints of subjects of criminal cases, as well as 31 million prints of civilian cases. That means that a large chunk of these fingerprints were collected for analysis purposes. Browser fingerprinting works like that as well. Websites collect a large set of data of visitors in order to use it later to match against browser fingerprints of known users. All of this information does not necessarily reveal exactly who you are, your name or address, but it's incredibly valuable for advertising purposes as companies use it to target certain groups. These groups have been formed by matching people based on browser fingerprinting. Now, you might be wondering, why is this being done? Why is your data so incredibly valuable to these companies? The international advertising industry and marketing machine loves data. If I'm not mistaken, websites like Facebook sell the data collected of its users to these marketing companies, and they pay big bucks for it. They'll do anything to get their hands on your data in order to track your online activities. That's why, as they say, with Facebook, since it's free, you are the product, and that is 1,000% true. Tracking methods of data collection is extremely valuable because it allows advertising businesses to create a profile based on your data. We all have profiles, folks. We really do. And everything that goes in there are searches from what we want to buy to how we're feeling, medical side. Like, this information is very valuable, even to insurance companies, believe it or not. They look for this data and they try to identify you and see, hey, there's something wrong with you. I know it sounds like really far-fetched in a way, but you are the product. You are the data that they want. The more data these businesses have, the more accurately they can target you with advertisements, which indirectly means higher revenue for the company. Now, this is one aspect where it's not all gloom and doom. This is the part where it's not bad, where fingerprinting has also been used to identify the characteristics of botnets because connections of botnets are established by a different device every time. Such analysis could lead to identification of fraudsters and other suspicious activities that require investigation. Also, banks use this method to identify potential fraud cases. If an account is showing questionable online behavior, for example, a bank's security system would be able to identify that the account is being accessed from multiple different locations during a short period of time by analyzing unique fingerprinting. By doing so, a hacker can log into the account using a device that it has never accessed, and access the account before can potentially be identified. You know, we're all, this kind of makes me think of, we're all creatures of habit. And once we do something that's not a regular routine, not a habit, then it's like, well, you know, maybe a flag will raise, you know what I mean? This is kind of like that, I guess. All of these signs suggest a potential fraud and usually trigger further investigation or preventative freezing of an account. Now, what are the methods used for tracking, for fingerprinting? Websites use several different methods to track users on the internet. By doing so, they can collect information and fingerprint your browser, and you wouldn't even know or see that the websites are doing this. So now, how do they do it? The technology allows websites to interact with your browser and retrieve information. In the following sections that I'll describe to you, I'll provide you with information about how websites interact with your browser and how they obtain information. So the first and foremost is cookies and tracking. A common way for websites to obtain your data is by using cookies. Cookies are small packets of text files that are stored on your computer, which contain certain data that may be given to websites, information that may give websites information to improve the user experience. Websites remember and track individual computers and devices by loading the cookies, the small data packets, onto your computer. Every time you visit a website, your browser will download cookies. When you visit the same website a little later in time, the website will assess the packets of data and provide you with a personally customized user experience. Think about the font size or screen resolution you view on a website. If a website knows you're always using an iPhone 8, it will provide you with the best settings for your iPhone. Also, this way, the website knows whether you're a unique visitor or a returning visitor. Cookies are also stored data on browsing activity, habits, interests, and much more. Furthermore, websites employ JavaScript, which will interact with visitors in order to carry out certain tasks, such as playing a video. These interactions also trigger a response, and as such, they receive information about you. The next method is Canvas fingerprinting. So this is a new method. So the newest method of attaining browser information is called Canvas fingerprinting. To put it simply, websites are written in HTML5 code, and inside that code, there's a little piece of code that takes your browser's fingerprint. So how are websites doing that exactly? This new tracking method that websites employ to obtain your browser fingerprint is enabled by new coding features in HTML5. HTML5 is the coding language used to build websites. It's the core fundamentals of every website. Within HTML5 coding language, there's an element which is called Canvas. Originally, the HTML Canvas element was used to draw graphics on a web page. Interesting. Now, here is a Wikipedia's explanation on how exploiting the HTML5 Canvas element generates browser fingerprinting. So when a user visits a page, the fingerprinting script first draws text with a font and size of its choice and adds background colors. Next, the script calls Canvas API's toDataURL method to get the Canvas pixel data in data URL format, which is basically a base64 encoded representation of the binary pixel data. Finally, the script takes the hash of the text encoded pixel data, which serves as the fingerprint. So in plain English, what this means is that the HTML5 Canvas element generates certain data, such as the font size and active background color settings of the visitor's browser on a website. This information serves as the unique fingerprint for every visitor. In contrast to how a cookie works, Canvas fingerprinting doesn't load anything onto your computer, so you won't be able to delete any data since it's not stored on your computer or device, but elsewhere. And another method, the final method that I'm going to share with you is the browser fingerprinting versus your IP address. So online privacy people like myself are aware that hiding your IP address is important to hiding your identity. Now, I wouldn't say it's the only thing you should do and it's foolproof. It's not. But let me continue with this and then I'll give you my thoughts on VPNs. So the IP address protocol is designed to send a request to a receiving web server every time the user interacts with a website or service because the receiving server needs an IP address to send a response to. That means that your IP address is a unique string of numbers that directly that points directly to your device. Tech-savvy website owners are even able to track other websites that you visit, the account you're logged into, and sometimes even your geolocation. Of course, this would require a bit more effort, but it's kind of scary. But it's kind of scary that it's possible. So some people try to use VPNs to hide their IP address, and the only problem with that is not the service, but the company themselves. You don't know what their terms of service are if your data is private with them. They could get subpoenaed and they would have to give up the information of who was at this IP address at this specific time of day. So your data may not be confidential with those VPN companies. So they're a little bit, it's a little bit of a risk as well. Now, you can test your browser's fingerprinting. I spent a little bit of time testing a bunch on my computer. So I use a Mac, so I use Safari, I use Chrome. I don't use Firefox, but I did load Firefox on to test Tor Browser and Brave. And there's three websites that I have listed here. So one is called I Am Unique, another one is called Unique Machine, and the final one is called Panopticlick, which I mentioned at the beginning of this episode. So Panopticlick is the one I used. And what you do is you just go onto the website and then you click testing your browser for the fingerprinting, and it'll give you a whole bunch of data. Not a lot, but I think it'll give you five basic tests. One is your browser blocking tracking ads? The result is yes or no. Or I think you can even get a somewhere in between answer, eh? The next one is your browser blocking invisible trackers? The next one, does your blocker stop trackers that are included in the so-called acceptable ads whitelist? Another one is, does your browser unblock third parties that promise to honor do not track? So in some of your browsers, there is an option that tells the server do not track, and you can switch that on and off in your browser. So that's supposed to tell the server do not track me. And then finally, does your browser protect from fingerprinting? And out of the five browsers I've used, I think it's four or five, only one browser gave me the answer of your browser has a randomized fingerprint. All other ones have given me the result of unique fingerprint. And the one that gave me a randomized fingerprint for an answer as a result is the Brave browser. This is my main browser that I use. Very happy with it. I think it's probably your best. It's your best choice right now if you're conscious about your privacy online. I'll have a link below that you can use to download the Brave browser. It also has a rewards program where an ad notification will pop up. It won't be invasive of your viewing experience, but it'll pop up, and if you click to view the ad, then you get some it's called a utility coin, you know, something like, it's a cryptocurrency, and it uses those tokens that you can tip other websites. You can use it to advertise on the platform, and they pay out every month. And I think I've been using it for I think just over a year, and I've been collecting the it's called basic attention token. I haven't done anything with those tokens as of yet, but they're just collecting up right now. So again, you can use it to tip other websites, and then I haven't really investigated what else I can do with these tokens, but there is that feature of the Brave browser where you can participate to view ads or not. You can switch that completely off and have an ad-free experience. But that's it, device fingerprinting. I didn't want to spend a lot of time just trying to educate you a bit on device fingerprinting. In a future episode, I will go into details on how you can get around methods in trying to fight against browser fingerprinting. So I'm going to put that together, and we'll have that very soon. So again, if you enjoy this podcast or you want to know more information on tech and opening up on the topic of privacy in the future, please consider subscribing to this podcast. We're on all major platforms, Apple, Google, everything in between. Thanks to the power of thanks to the power of Anchor, anchor.fm, which is a really easy way to, it's free hosting podcasting service that you can start your own podcasting service with. And until next time, yeah, you'll hear from me then. Thanks for listening, and ciao for now.